Ag Today presents your Purdue Extension, a podcast network. A podcast partnership between Purdue University Extension and Indiana's most listened to farm radio network, Hoosier Ag Today.
Welcome to Your Health, a podcast from the Hoosier Ag Today presents your Purdue Extension Podcast Network, where we bring you practical tips and real-life strategies to help you live healthier every day. Today, we're taking a walk down the grocery aisle without ever leaving the room. We'll explore the Mock Grocery Store Experience Program, a hands-on way to learn how to make smarter, healthier, and more budget-friendly choices when you shop. Whether you're feeding a family or just trying to eat better, this program is designed to help make healthy decisions and make them easier and more accessible. To tell us more about this very interesting program, we have three Extension educators, Carolyn Everidge, J.P. Petrowski, and Brittany Shorey. Thank you so much for joining me today.
Thanks for having us.
Yes, indeed. Okay, well, let's just get right into it. What in the world is a mock grocery store experience? And how do you transform like a typical Indiana classroom into a functioning mock grocery store?
So essentially what it is, just kind of as it sounds, so we bring grocery store items. So it could be produce, obviously all fake, or other packaged items such as pasta, cereal boxes, milk jugs, everything you would see at a typical grocery store into a school setting. And we basically work with middle school, high school, whatever age kids that we're working with that day. And we work anywhere from meal planning and to healthy food choices and shopping to budgeting.
Okay, I need more info. I need more info on this. This sounds so fascinating. And JP, I'm sorry, but I feel like you're underselling it. So who else has got more for me?
I agree that JP is underselling it for sure. So we have been able to take the mock grocery store all across the state to a variety of classrooms in school. We've done outside of school, after school activities, different groups. And we really just give them the opportunity to go to the grocery store without going to the grocery store. So there's awesome. No actual money involved. There's no need to figure out how we're going to get 50 kids on a bus over to the grocery store. We bring it all to them. And the impact really speaks for itself. We have seen amazing stories come out of the mock grocery store where students are like, man, I'm never having kids. They're so expensive. Or I can't believe that my parents have to deal with this when they go to the grocery store. I'm expensive. And so it's just a really cool opportunity to see some of those light bulb moments.
So I'm just envisioning like these, you set up shelves and like fake food items, as JP was saying. Do they have like little grocery carts and like little credit card? I mean, do you put prices on stuff? How does this work? Tell me more about it.
So every item that we have, which I'm pretty sure we have a few hundred items, various items that you would see in the store, in stores, and everything does have a cost to it. In the fall of each year, we price match whatever it would be at that store, whether it be Kroger, Walmart, whatever it might be. And they are shopping what it would actually be if we were to shop at the store today. And then they have either baskets, so we give them scenarios, so they work in groups, or they can work alone depending on the age group that we're working with. And the scenarios range from a single mom of two kids to a college student to retired individual who can only carry so much weight, so they can have to do two trips, and then they have to shop for a week's worth of groceries to feed that scenario, either to feed their family or to feed that single individual. We do have baskets, like the shopping baskets that you would walk around with, as well as the shopping carts, not more of like the collapsible carts, so it's easy to transport, but we have the carts for them to shop for if they're shopping for more than one person. And that's what they do. They physically put the items in their carts, so they kind of have that tangible learning and physically picking up items. And then when they think they're set and they have enough food or they met their goal, they will go to the registers, which would be us at our little registers up front, and we go through what they thought about either meal planning or what they thought about buying for that week. If they kind of rush through it and there's some critiques that need to be made, we can send them back and they can reassess how they want to shop and plan. But we give them paper, we give them stuff to plan out what they need for breakfast, lunch, dinner, and a snack. And then we talk about serving sizes, portion sizes, and all that kind of stuff. We can, if we have enough time, we dive into like that sodium count and carbs and stuff like that as well.
So this sounds so fun. I want to do it. But what is the age group that you are normally targeting, Brittany?
We can virtually do this with anybody. So we have the ability to adapt this program for just about any population. We've done it with anywhere from middle school students to high school students. And we are going to pilot a program with adults here in the near future. So anybody can participate.
That is awesome. I want to do it.
It's totally very cool. It's the impact, like Caroline and JP just shared, like it's really cool to see the light bulbs go off in kids because they don't understand quite how challenging it is to meal plan, to understand like getting your fruits and vegetables, your protein, your dairy, your grains into a meal setting and put it on the table. Like it takes, it's a process. So, and that's what we try and instill them, not only the finances, but the nutrition aspect too.
Now, when you originally turn them loose, do they go directly to the cookie and chip aisle? That's where I'd go, personally.
Not really.
It just depends.
I think we see a lot of kids gravitate toward like the meat actually first, because that's what they think of when we say you have to get your protein. And then, of course, we'll occasionally have kids that go to like the soda or the candy or the ice cream or whatever. But I think it's more, they're more intentional than we expect for sure.
I typically
now,
also see a lot
created
of frozen,
this program,
a lot of the
and what inspired you to create it?
So Brittany and I attended our national conference, and there was a very similar program that was presented there. It was in the height of COVID, so we were on virtual conferencing and learning about different opportunities. And Brittany and I kind of looked at each other and like, well, we can do that. And so we did. So it took us about a year to get our first kit built. So all of our boxes and our food packaging and figuring out how we wanted to do it. And then we've just run with it ever since.
JP, tell us why it's so critical to teach youth about the intersection of healthy eating and budgeting before they reach adulthood.
Well, so just to touch base on the healthy eating, there's a big chunk of the population in Indiana, it varies per county, but are considered obese. Or so even talking about where food comes from, as simple as that, to what it does your My Plate look like with your five food groups. So you can have a well, quote unquote, well-balanced meal. And just the education behind it from fifth grade up to seniors in high school that might not know all the five food groups. So especially I like this program a lot because it does target that. And then on the budgeting side, usually parents will just essentially just buy the food for the kids, not knowing how much a dollar will actually go for. And what I like about this program is it combines both of those, and we can focus with the flexibility of the program, we can focus a lot more on the financial side if we have to, and work with math classes or other classes like that, or more on the nutritional side and focus with facts classes. And then, or even just blend the two, where maybe we have an extended period where we have 2 hours and we can do the first hour strictly on financial, and then maybe the second hour on nutrition. So, or even half group, one of the groups doing one and the other group doing other. And we can adjust very quickly during the program as well. So it's a very flexible program that can benefit both on that nutrition side and that financial side.
This, in my opinion, has the potential to really break some cycles. Like if you have parents and those parents had parents before them that just went to the store and bought junk food and you grew up on junk food, then that's what you know to go and buy when you become an adult is to buy junk and expensive junk at that. And this has the potential to break all of that. I love this. I think it's so clever.
Yeah, I think that was one of the reasons that Brittany and I were interested in doing this program. So Brittany and I primarily work with adults. So we often see some of that end result of not having home ec classes anymore in our public schools, or not learning how to budget and how to grocery shop as a teenager, as a young adult. So we see some of those systemic issues happening in some of the adults we work with. So it was really cool to be able to implement this program in a preventative way, to help deal with some of those challenges that you just mentioned.
Brittany, you guys give youth a real life scenario to shop for a week's worth of food. What would you say is the biggest challenge that they usually face?
Every group of kids is a little bit different, but their biggest challenge typically is when they're working with a group. It's kind of funny to watch them strategize and get creative, and one person might suggest this and one person might not like that. So the group dynamics can be a challenge, but they work through it just like a family household would. So that would be my first answer to a challenge. Obviously, the meal planning, not every kid has tasted everything at the grocery store. So, and you have different dynamics in each group. So it's very cool to watch, though.
The real tragedy of all this is in order to eat healthy, it costs more. And I'm sure you've seen that, you know, doing what you do. How do you help youth who realize that they've selected healthier food options, but they run out of money at the checkout?
Yeah, so there's this famous saying that it's cheaper to buy a bottle of grape soda than it is to buy a handful of grapes. And it's true. So there is an element there that healthier, more nutritious food does cost more in the moment. When we're talking with adults, we talk about how you're actually saving money long term because you're reducing health risks, and, you know, expanding your life expectancy and things of that nature. But that doesn't really mean much to your teenagers. So we talk about how, yeah, it might cost a little bit more, but you might get more food. You're going to feel more full. So if you eat, you know, a meal that has all five of your food groups compared to just a bag of potato chips, you're not going to get that fiber. You're not going to get the protein that's going to help you feel full. So you're going to end up actually eating more food. So when we break it down and explain it on that level, it's a little more understandable, but it's a pretty high level concept that we're trying to get these kids to understand.
You, in some information that you sent along to me before we started this, there's something called a MyPlate component. Can one of you expound upon that? Maybe JP?
So the MyPlate, essentially, it's similar to, it basically just breaks out your five food groups. So your grains, veggies, protein, dairy, and what's in the last one? What is it? Fruits. And so
they were going to let you sink on that. I saw both their faces. You're like, come on, JP, you can get
So we give them copies of that. So in case they're not familiar with it, they can do like a check like, okay, we have our proteins for the week, we have our grains, and they can go through that process to figure out if that they have components that they can incorporate within all their meals. We get some weird combinations that they try to combine. So we always get a giggle out of that. But it, essentially, that's what it is. It just shows that this is what would be a complete meal that would make sure you are kind of in that healthy forward mindset of meal planning and eating.
Well, I love everything about this. I think it's super fun. I want to try it for myself, but we've got to pause here for a commercial break. When we come back, though, we're going to talk about one simple tip that anyone can use to lower your grocery bill this week. That's when we return to Your Health.
There's so much fear when people realize people have hit rock bottom. Sometimes what can make that difference with that person is just the fact that somebody acknowledges them. Sometimes just not being afraid to start that conversation and just be that ear for that person. And that may be the one thing that could change everything.
Farmer suicide rates are significantly higher than the general population. That's why Purdue Extension offers the Purdue Farm Stress Team to offer help when it's needed most.
We're back with Your Health, and we're talking today about the Mock Grocery Store Experience Program. Let's go to Brittany here. Brittany, what's a moment from the program that has really stuck with you?
Oh, wow. That's a difficult question. We've been teaching this and facilitating this in for a long time now. And wow, that's a good question. I think probably my favorite part is the light bulbs that go off within kids when they're really working together, the communication, the creativity that JP just shared before the commercial break. It's really cool to see the kids work together to create, you know, a full healthy meal for their families based on their scenario that they have. That's a budget that, you know, some of the food groups, for example, one of our scenarios, we have a lactose intolerant scenario. So one of the kids in their household can't have dairy. So they have to read the nutrition facts label to better understand what food groups don't or what food items don't have dairy. So just the light bulbs. Long answer.
How about you, Carolyn?
Yeah, I would agree. I think my favorite part about this program is when we deliver it for the first time at a school. And, you know, there's a little bit of apprehension and the teachers aren't quite sure if this is really going to fit what they want. And then they absolutely love it and they ask us back year after year. So there are several communities that we've been facilitating this program in their schools every year since we've developed it. It is just part of their curriculum now. It's something that they look forward to every year. And so knowing that we have been able to provide this opportunity to this many kids and youth in our state has been really exciting.
JP, have you seen any surprising or unexpected outcomes?
I would kind of echo a little bit of both of what Carolyn and Brittany said. I would say my biggest takeaway that I like to see from the kids is, again, most of them are middle school and high school, so they're in that teenage phase, and teenagers eat a lot. So when they're trying to check out and they say, okay, for our family of four that has two teenagers, we're each going to have an egg for breakfast. And in reality, that's not the case. So I think for them having that light bulb moment of, oh, I eat a lot more food than what I'm saying that this family's going to eat. So they're kind of understanding like, okay, we actually buy a lot of food. But then something that we also echo that I like to talk about is it's also hard to shop for multiple people when in your head you're like, I can eat this, but now you got to multiply it out by two, three, four, five people because that's how many are in your family. So a lot of them are like, oh, okay, well, that makes more sense. So instead of buying one box of cereal, I need to buy three. So it's a little bit of that aha moment that I like to see. And like that light bulb moment, like Brittany said, is really what, especially as a youth educator, that's my go-to, what I like to see in that.
You guys have said that youth have mentioned learning how to save their money better. So before the break, we were talking about that one simple tip. So tell us, what is one simple tip from the program that any listener or a viewer of this program could use right now to lower their grocery bill this week?
So I'll say that it has those serving sizes. So if you can get larger quantities for less per unit price, that's going to save you quite a bit of money. So those big jars of peanut butter, you can use longer and send less money than the little, you know, 16-ounce jar of peanut butter. And it comes down to pennies sometimes, but if you're pinching those pennies, it's important.
I would say also.
I'll agree with Carolyn.
I would also say
Think about needs and wants and where you want to prioritize things. So really looking at what those look like at the grocery store and what your family needs and wants.
And one of the things I tell a lot of the kids, especially because a lot of them go to that frozen meals, the banquet dinners that are just the quick one meal, that I call it a convenience fee. It's ready made. You just got to pop it in the microwave and it's done. So there's a hidden convenience fee, as I like to try to phrase it. Buying four of those would be the same cost of buying a box of spaghetti, a jar of pasta, a jar of pasta sauce, and a bag of cheese, and making three times the amount for the same price. So if you put a little effort in, you can save and better tasting. Yeah, and probably a little healthier, a little less sodium. So that's another way to make your dollar go a little bit further if you're willing to put in a little effort and make it yourself instead of paying that hidden convenience fee and buying the frozen stuff.
So across the state of Indiana, where have you delivered this wonderful program?
Oh, boy. How many counties are we up to now?
I don't know the exact number of counties off the top of my head, but we have been all the way north and all the way south. Some of the western part of the state, we haven't gotten quite as much, but northern part of the state is where we are all three are located. So we have been able to hit there a little bit more, but it is all across the state. We have had, you know, dozens of different counties that have had this program delivered.
We've also trained about it.
No, go ahead, JP.
I said we also trained about a third of the counties at fellow extension educators to also facilitate the program. So we do a train the trainer where we take the other educators that are HHS educators and youth educators, and we train them on how to deliver this program as well. So they can create their own kits, and then they can facilitate the same program within their counties instead of trying to work with us to get on our calendar and us to physically come down to them as well.
And do you feel the need to tailor this experience to different communities throughout Indiana where you go, and why?
Absolutely. The needs are different in different communities. So one of the first things that we did as an adaptation to our original kit was to provide the scenarios in Spanish. We went to several communities where the students were speaking Spanish, and it was more beneficial for them to have the scenarios in Spanish so they could comprehend what they were attempting to do throughout the simulation. We also have conversations about what foods are available. So when we go to some rural counties in the state, they might not have a full service grocery store within an hour of them. They might be shopping at a convenience store or, you know, having to travel far distances to get their access to their food. So we talk about what is even available to them and how that might make their meal plan look a little bit different. Or if they're, you know, shopping at a convenience store and they're having to spend 3-4 times the amount on the groceries than they would if at a traditional grocery store, we have to talk about that as well. So we definitely adjust and tailor it to the communities, to the needs that are there, and then just to the demographics of the population as well.
And how do you usually facilitate it? Is it like going to schools or how does that work?
We try our best to all be on site. Doesn't always happen with scheduling, but we give instructions very briefly, and we let the kids go with their scenarios and let them plan things out and get creative. And then we walk around and assist where is needed. So, and then at that checkout process that JP and Carolyn just mentioned earlier, that's where a lot of the education happens. So,
and I guess, where do you facilitate it?
Yeah, primarily schools. So the youngest grade we have done it with is fifth grade, and that was at a Boys and Girls Club. And then we've done it with after school activities like 4-H programming or YMCA programs as well. But it is primarily in a school during the school day. But there are outside opportunities as well.
Which leads me to my last question. If someone's listening or watching this right now, and they're like, I want this program in my institution, in my school, how can they get in touch with you and find out more information about this?
We have an interest form that they can fill out that gets their contact information to us directly, and then we can reach out and contact them to schedule. And so we provide that information. It's just a Google form. They can just drop in their name and email, and we'll reach out to you.
Fantastic. And how long have you been doing this?
I would say this is year 5.
Wow.
Yeah, so we started delivering in 2021. Yeah.
This has got to be a big
It took us a long time to compile all of the grocery items.
That's exactly what I was going to talk about. How long did it take you to compile all that? And what do you like transport it in?
So big Rubbermaid totes.
We have about 15 of those Rubbermaid totes, and they're all categorized like here's your produce tote, here's your breakfast tote, and we just take them that way, and it's easier for us to set up and tear down that way as well, and we have a big van that we transport them in, and that's how we do it.
JP made the van sound a little bit easier for transportation, but it's like a puzzle piece trying to fit them all in there, let me tell you.
You got to be Tetris masters.
Yes.
The Mock Grocery Store Experience Program, coming to an organization or a school near you, if you just follow the instructions that Caroline gave. Caroline, JP, Brittany, thank you so much for joining me today. This is so neat. And if it ever comes this way in the Madison County area, I would love to come and check it out firsthand.
We'd love to have you.
Thank you.
Yeah, absolutely.
Thanks for joining us today on Your Health. We hope this look into the Mock Grocery Store Experience program gave you a few new ideas to take with you on your next shopping trip. Remember, small changes in the grocery store can lead to big improvements in your overall health. Be sure to subscribe, share this episode, and join us next time as we continue helping you make healthier choices every day. I'm Greg Allen.